This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The Rainbow Shoelace Project began with six little beads in rainbow colours threaded onto shoelaces in a Broken Hill classroom. Well, Abby was the girl behind the project. Sophie is Abby's mum, and both Sophie and Abby join me in the Joy Drive studios. Welcome to Drive.
Thank you so much. It's so amazing to be here.
It is such a pleasure having you here. Abby, for those who don't know what the Rainbow Shoelace Project is all about, tell us about it.
So, as you said in that fabulous introduction, you said you were prepared and you are. I started the Rainbow Shoelace Project when I was just 12 years old. Mm-hmm. I've always known that I was a little different, and I was lucky enough to grow up in a really supportive and inclusive household. I had put rainbow beads on my shoelaces in about year six just because it was a small way of showing the world who I was, and they made me really happy. I went to high school, and when I got there, I heard so much generalized homophobia, and it terrified me. I went home that day and decided that I couldn't have these beads on my shoelaces because it would make me a target for homophobia. And I thought about it for longer, and I decided that I shouldn't have to take off my rainbow beads for the comfort of other people who are closed-minded. I thought about all of the other people around Australia and the world who are feeling alone and isolated, especially queer people. So I wanted to make sure that as many people around Australia and the world were wearing rainbow beads. Our message is that you normally see rainbows when you're looking up in the sky, and when you're experiencing homophobia and bullying, you tend to look down and hide yourself from the world. And by looking down and seeing either your own shoes with rainbow beads on them or someone else's, it reminds you to look up and be exactly who you are.
I love it. Now, you're at a school in Broken Hill. What was that like?
School in Broken Hill was an experience that a lot of people in metro areas can't relate to. I think the further away from big cities you get, the less representation and the less education there is about diversity. So, as I mentioned, that I heard generalized homophobia, and as I was an outspoken advocate and as the Rainbow Shoelace Project began to grow and grow, the homophobia became targeted homophobia towards me. And it was relentless. It was horrible. I think I had to make a sacrifice to help other people. And the one thing that got me through that was always thinking, as long as I'm helping one other person to never feel this way again, this is all worth it. The bullying and homophobia was from all different age groups. It was so many different groups of people, and it felt like my whole high school hated me. It was horrible. It got to a point that I could barely go to school. My mental health had horribly deteriorated, and I was only in year eight at that time. That was at the end of year eight. So I was 14.
A time when you should have been able to concentrate on your studies.
Exactly.
So say that again, sorry, Sophie.
Your mic. She should have been safe to go to school.
Absolutely.
Everyone deserves to be safe at school.
And to be in an environment where you can learn.
Exactly. And that that leads to, I guess, the breaking point where I eventually had to leave Broken Hill because I had no other choice. I couldn't go to school because I was too scared to get up in the morning. So I moved 16 hours away to live with my auntie in Port Macquarie. I spent 4 months living in Port Macquarie by myself with my auntie without my mum, who I'd lived with my whole life. And I started at a new school, and I can easily say that that was scary, but it has been one of the best decisions I have ever made. It has changed my life.
What was that like, Sophie, as a mum, to have to watch your daughter move to another town so far away just to avoid bullying and homophobia in school?
I am quite resentful. So I was born in Broken Hill and I grew up in Broken Hill. And so I just feel like it was really unfair that we had to leave. I couldn't be away from her, as it turned out. And so myself and my younger daughter also moved to Port Macquarie. But children being bullied to the point where they have to leave town, it's just not acceptable.
Was it different in Port Macquarie?
Yeah, it definitely is very different. And don't get me wrong, you will find homophobia no matter where you go. And I make it seem like metro areas are completely free of homophobia, and that's not true. But I think Port Macquarie being closer to other places, closer to Sydney, being that different environment, that coastal feel to it, I don't know, it's just the atmosphere is so much different. And I think people are exposed to difference there, and they are educated, and it's normalised there for a lot of people. So it was insane. I went to school in Port Macquarie, and I haven't been called a slur once, which is insane, seen as in Broken Hill. It was relentless and every day.
You spoke then about difference. How important, you know, we often use the term diversity, and it's important that we have diverse voices, et cetera. And how important is it really? How much of a difference did it make? If that diversity had been at your school in Broken Hill and in the Broken Hill community, or people have been comfortable with diversity, would that have made a difference?
Oh, absolutely. People are scared of what they don't know. Mm. And the lack of education around queerness and queer relationships and gender diverse people is terrible, because people, as I said, are scared of what they don't know, and they immediately jump to judge it.
Mm.
People have never even met a queer person and automatically judge them. And what was so horrible for me was that people who bullied me didn't even know me as a person. They just saw me as the gay kid, and that was enough for them to hate my guts. And that shows how terrible and the lack of education that they have. So I'm a firm believer in early education. I'm a firm believer in teaching your children to be kind and to respect people no matter what, and to teach kids that boys can marry boys and girls can marry girls, and that is okay. And you need to be kind to everyone no matter what. I think the school system could have done a lot more in terms of educating students on diversity, but it gets to a point that my bullies were so far into believing that queerness was disgusting that no matter how hard I tried, those were not the people whose opinions I could change. And that's why it's so important to, you know, bring up your kids being kind and always knowing that they need to support people no matter who they are.
You know what I find very sad about this story is I'm in my 50s, and, you know, there was bullying and homophobia back in the 1970s in primary school and the 80s in high school, but nothing's changed. It's still occurring.
Well, here's the interesting thing is, because Abby's high school, I went to high school in Broken Hill, and it wasn't as vocal, I think, as what it is now in terms of the use of slurs. Like, there's been a resurgence that people don't realise, and it's really terrible and really scary. And when Abby first told me that that's the language that she was hearing, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, people don't say that word now. Like, people haven't said that word for years. And she's like,
why is it? Do you think they're comfortable now? Why is this resurgence happening?
I mean, we just have to look at what's going on, like, in some places like America, right? So we've got those extremists who, you know, believe that, you know, things have gone too far one way, so they're trying to bring it back. But
they're not bringing it back a little bit. They're denying all of the advocacy and all of the hard work so many people have had to go through. I also think that social media has helped me so much, and I am not against social media in some ways, but I think children are able to access more hateful content, and children are seeing really horrible misogynistic, sexist, homophobic, racist content online, and that is what's cool to them.
And they're seeing they don't have the education.
They don't have the education on how to be kind, so they just take what they've seen on social media from influencers who are, you know, being homophobic or using slurs, and they are using that themselves, which is not okay. People, a really common misconception I have found, especially being an advocate for the LGBTQI plus community, is that a lot of people assume that homophobia is not an issue anymore.
I did. I was one of those people.
Yeah.
Do you think they thought we got same-sex marriage and it's all over?
That's what I thought. I thought that. I thought things must be heaps better than what they were, because at least we can legally get married now.
But that's not the case.
But yeah.
And it's – times have changed. They have. And in some ways things have gotten better. But there is still such a long way to go, and we can't stop saying that, because the second we stop fighting, the second things rewind and – go back to the old ways.
I think an example of, I think a very typical example of what happened to Abby at her school was in her, the last year she was in Broken Hill, so she's in year eight.
Mm-hmm.
She was only 13 at this point, and she had organised a Wear It Purple Day for her school. The old wear a purple t-shirt on Wear It Purple Day, and it was advertised, and everyone was supposed to wear purple shirts, but Abby was the only person who wore a purple shirt.
How did that make you feel?
Oh, it was horrible, because as if I didn't already stand out enough. And
I was furious because when the school decided that they were going to allow a Wear It Purple Day to happen, they needed to ensure, again, that my child was safe, and she was not, when she is the only person who attends school wearing a purple shirt.
Did any of the staff wear purple shirts?
Some of them.
A couple of teachers who were on her side. But one of the things that really got to me was the Matildas, and I love the Matildas. Like, I love the Matildas because they're very positive for the queer community. But the office staff dressed up their office in green and gold, and they all wore green and yellow t-shirts, and there was streamers and everything because the Tillys made the quarterfinal in the World Cup. But no, there was no purple on Wear It Purple Day. So I think there was a very big double standard as to what they wanted to celebrate and show off and what they were comfortable with. I know that Abby said that the SRC members were given a wristband, Wear It Purple wristband to wear on the day, and they put it on in their SRC meeting, and as they walked out of that room, they all took that wristband off because they were scared of getting bullied. And they were straight kids wearing a Wear It Purple wristband. This just sounds wild as I say
it. At least the straight kids at the end of that day get to take off their purple shirt. But when you're a queer kid that stands out, you kind of always carry that bold thing that just makes you stand out against everyone
else. It's you, and there's nothing wrong with it. If you just joined us, we're talking with Abby and her mum Sophie from Broken Hill, who turned a few rainbow beads into the Rainbow Shoelace Project, which is a movement now giving kids and communities around the world a visible sign of safety and solidarity. Abby, let's talk about the beads themselves. What did it feel like the first time you saw someone else wearing the beads that you made?
I think it was amazing because the Rainbow Shoelace Project obviously started off very small. It first started just me giving rainbow beads to my friends and sticking them up at a local Woolies notice board. And I think that reassurance, knowing that someone else who I didn't even know, some random person, had seen and resonated with an initiative that I started. It's amazing. And still to this day, after we've distributed over 350,000 packs of rainbow beads across the world, it still means so much to me seeing a random person in the street who I have never met, who doesn't know me, wearing rainbow beads on their shoes, because it just shows me how far my project has actually spread.
Do you ever stop them and say, hey?
Well, yes, actually. The other day in the airport, actually, I was just, you know, going to the toilet before my flight, and I saw this girl, and I tapped her on the, because I saw she had beads, and I tapped her on the shoulder, and she was like, oh, what? And I like lifted up my like flared jeans and showed her my beads, and I was like, oh my God, look. And then she was like, oh my God. Yeah, I do. And I love it. It makes me so incredibly happy. And it shows how much a tiny initiative can spread from Broken Hill, started by a 12-year-old girl. It's really remarkable how much it has spread.
We talk about Wear It Purple Day, and I see that Mum's wearing purple today, which is fabulous to see in the studio. It's coming up this Friday. Let's go back, and I hate to take you back, but let's go back to the time where, you know, you were being bullied in high school. If someone is in high school and they're in that situation, how significant is it on, say, a day like Wear It Purple Day, but perhaps throughout the entire year, to see something small like someone wearing purple? Maybe it's an armband. Maybe it's the coloured beads that we've got on our shoelaces. How significant is that to a young person who's at school, who's feeling a bit different and is being bullied because of that?
One of my most passionate topics is being an active ally. And with things like the Rainbow Shoelace Project, the beads are so insignificant to people who don't need to see them. People who don't need to see them will barely even notice them. But the people who need to see them and who need to feel that recognition and know that they belong will notice them. And that's why days like Wear It Purple Day are so important. That's why being an active ally all year, making sure that you have a visible sign to know, to tell people that, hey, you can be who you are with me, and who you are is amazing. It means so much to me. And even though I'm the founder of the Rainbow Shoelace Project, it still means so much to me, not just because I'm the founder, but as a queer person, when I do see people with rainbow beads on their shoelaces, because I'm like, I'm safe with that person. That person is actively showing that who I am is okay, and that is so beautiful. And I think sometimes it's sad, and I actually said this to Mum on the way to the hotel, seeing all of the LGBTQ plus welcome here stickers. It's amazing and it means so much to me, but how sad is it as a society that we need to have things that say that this certain person is welcome? You know, I just think it should just be expected, and it isn't, and that is really sad. So as of now, when we're trying to change things, as we're trying to take little tiny steps into being more inclusive, having things like wearing rainbow beads or celebrating Wear It Purple Day means so much to the people who need to notice it.
Sophie, have you had any, does the school and the teachers, does Broken Hill feel bad about what happened at all? Have you had any feedback?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, so at the time, obviously I contacted the school a lot, and I wrote actually to the Minister for Education a couple of times. And I wasn't satisfied with the response, obviously, because things kept getting worse to the point where she couldn't go to school. So I think the first time I wrote to the minister was like at the start of year 8 for Abby. I remember going into the office at the end of year 7 and I was crying to the principal because I said, you can't keep her safe. Like, this is not a safe environment for her. I don't think she can come back here. And obviously then stuck it out for year 8 because I didn't think we could leave. Like, I didn't really have any options in my head at that point. So, no, I don't know that anyone feels bad. It probably is good that we left for them. It's something they don't have to deal with now. But I feel really terrible for kids who are queer and who can't leave town, whose parents aren't in a situation where they can up and leave their lives, and that it's scary and worrying.
Abby, are you in contact with any of your old school friends?
Actually, no. I tried to, and I currently, I don't speak to anyone from Broken Hill other than my grandfather.
I mean, the interesting thing part of it was is that a lot of those same kids kept bullying her once she left Broken Hill.
Oh, really?
But the good thing for us was is that because they took it online, we had the evidence to then get the police involved. And so they've actually been through the court system in Broken Hill, which has been very satisfying for us because it meant that we can now protect Abby. She's the AVO's in place. The kids are on good behaviour bonds. They're not allowed to legally contact her now. It was horrible to get to that point. They were calling her 20 times a night. They were leaving her horrendous messages. They were spreading her number around, telling people to call her and saying horrendous homophobic things. Like, they're not just prank calling her. They're really homophobic messages. But, yeah, so, I mean, good result for us in that we were able to deal with that. And so since it's been through the court, we haven't heard from those bullies.
Yeah, but I don't I haven't kept in contact with anyone from Broken Hill, I guess. I kind of just had no other option but to up and I just had to start fresh. Everything reminded me of what I went through. And, yeah, just I had to start a new life and make new friends who supported me for who I am.
Something that I often talk about is that potential that being bullied robs us of achieving, because I feel like we have to devote a certain amount of our brain space, our thinking capacity, to looking after and protecting ourselves. I mean, it's really a survival thing, isn't it? And then the rest of it, what's left, gets to focus on our studies as a kid. It's so unfair compared to those that don't receive the bullying and they can devote their whole selves to their studies and getting somewhere in life. So it's such a disadvantage.
And look, and I mean, and Abby's honest, like open about this, and she can talk further about it, but it still affects her to this day. Like she's not being bullied now at her current school, but her mental health was impacted so poorly that she's still got to work on her mental health to this day, a year and a half after leaving town.
I think what's really important for people who are being bullied, as you said, yes, I think about, I mean, the Rainbow Shoelace Project grew the most during the time I was being bullied. I would go off to events in Sydney like World Pride and things like that, and then I'd come home and have to deal with being bullied. But it's so important, the Rainbow Shoelace Project and having an outlet to turn my horrible experience into something that is so powerful and something that can help other people, that saved my life. And it was really tiring and stressful, and you know, at sometimes I contemplated not doing the Rainbow Shoelace Project because I was worried everything was getting too much. But ultimately, the Rainbow Shoelace Project gave me an environment and a cause where I could be who I was. And the people who supported me in that reminded me that who I am is okay.
The big question we're all wanting to ask is, how do we get our hands on the beads if we want to wear them? Because we all want to show our support, and you never know who is looking down as they're walking along.
Exactly. So first of all, I encourage anyone, regardless of if you identify as queer or if you're an ally, to wear rainbow beads. So you can order beads from our website, which is rainbowshoelaceproject.com.au, and also follow our socials. Our tag is just Rainbow Shoelace Project.
The beads are free. They remain free. You just have to pay for shipping because we can't afford to send them for free. But, yeah, the actual beads themselves, there's no cost. Or if you are able to, if you're in a position, you can actually pay what you can afford, or like, which kind of allows us to give them to other people for free.
Are you looking for support?
Always.
The Rainbow Shoelace Project is partly self-funded by my mum.
What a mum.
I know.
I think we need a Mum of the Year award.
She's a very good mum. But to me, it's really important to keep the packets of beads themselves free, because I was 12 when I started this project. I was unable to get a job. I didn't have any money. And I thought about all those kids who might not be able to ask their parents to buy them for them. So to me, it's really important. And obviously, we charged for shipping, but Mum mentioned the whole pay what you can afford. And the pay what you can afford is also really important, so we can send packets of beads for free and not charge those people who are in a situation where they can't afford them or can't ask their parents. We can send them their beads for free, because it's not about money, it's not about profit, it's about changing the world, and it's about making kids feel safer.
Abby, if you could sit down now, maybe someone's listening who is one of the bullies, what would you say to them?
It's not very appropriate to say on live radio. But I would say that I actually feel really sorry for people who can't see the beauty in difference, because some of the most kind and beautiful people I have ever met are queer, or they're people of colour, or they are a part of a marginalised group that is often looked down on. And they are some of the most amazing people I've ever met. So I actually sympathise with people who can't understand how amazing being different actually is. And I hope that one day they can learn to be kinder.
And finally, if we want to get the shoelaces again, the the beads for the shoelaces, let's give the plug one more time to the website and the socials.
RainbowShoelaceProject.com.au. And our socials are, it's just at Rainbow Shoelace Project, just on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and LinkedIn.
I think it's amazing, Abby, the project. I think it's wonderful. I'm sorry that you went through everything, but I think what's come out of it is something absolutely beautiful, and it's helping people around the world. And Sophie, what a mum.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for both of you for coming in to Drive today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
An absolute privilege.
Joy Drive, smart, fun radio. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.